And Jesus answering said to them, "Go and report what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not scandalized in me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we are probably taken aback a little bit when we hear our Lord, Almighty God, this, and the perfect man, and such a obviously compelling person, having to say, "Blessed are those who are not scandalized in me. Blessed are those," our Lord seems to say, "who will still listen to me and not take offense at me." And as we know, there were many that took offense by what our Lord said and did. And why was that? I believe it was because he did not fit their preconceived ideas of who the Messiah should be. The rejection was so great at the time of our Lord's passion and death that Barabbas, a terrible murderer and criminal, was preferred to our Lord, and they even said, although it wasn't with truth, "We have no king but Caesar. We do not want this person." They were scandalized by our Lord. And yet we know a priori that our Lord cannot tell us anything wrong. He cannot deceive us in any way. He is who he is. He is Almighty God. And so rather than have our Lord conform to preconceived ideas that we have of him, or that anybody has ever had of him, we rather have to conform to who he is. Remember on this last Sunday after Pentecost, our Lord says, "Beware of false prophets and false Christs," he even said. And there are many that have through the centuries, and certainly now, people who would rather believe a false Christ than the true Christ. How can we define the true Christ? Or let me put it another way. How do we conform to him? And I would say it's by accepting and believing all of his teachings, not just part of his teachings. I believe that's what happens when people follow a false idea of who Christ is. By only picking a few certain phrases that our Lord said, believing in that and ignoring the rest. That would be following a false Christ. So we need, my dear brethren, to study the life of Christ. Where do we study it? In the Holy Gospels. That's where we see the true Christ, and we believe everything that he taught. We believe everything that his church has taught about him. How fortunate we are to have the church as our infallible guide to teach us who the real Christ is. And on this joyful yet penitential season, or in this joyful but penitential season of Advent, let us proclaim our belief in the totality of our Lord, so that our Lord can say of each of us, "Blessed are you because you are not scandalized in me. you believe everything that I taught, and it cannot but be true and good. Even the apostles had their struggles with who our Lord really was. As I mentioned last Sunday, even St. Peter said, Lord, far from it be it from thee to go down the hard path. Take the easy way. You're God. You can do anything. And we know how sharply our Lord rebuked the one that he had promised to make his first pope. Get thee behind me, Satan, our Lord said. So St. Peter certainly learned that lesson. Our Lord was, of course, patient with his apostles. He's patient with us. But we have to keep striving to know him and to serve him so that we may be happy with him forever in heaven. The more we get to know him, the more we will love him. Today is the what I would call Prophecy and Miracle Sunday. I always love this second Sunday of Advent where St. Paul talks about all these prophecies that our Lord, or that would be fulfilled, that our Lord would fulfill. And he's pointing it out that, and this was another source of scandal to many of the Jews, he says the Gentiles are going to be invited also. You're not going to have to be a Jew. And those who were followers of Christ, that were Jews, they welcomed the Gentiles that were converting with open arms. You no longer had to be of the descent from Abraham. And the other great figures of the Old Testament. Even our Lord quotes a prophecy when he talks about how St. John was fulfilling a prophecy. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face who shall make ready thy way before thee. So our Lord himself is alluding to prophecy, he who fulfilled every prophecy to the letter. And then our Lord worked all these miracles. So the proof is overwhelming for believing in Christ. For no other figure in history have there been so many prophecies made centuries and centuries apart that were all fulfilled in one person. And then this one person worked miracles by his own power. As I said, it is overwhelmingly compelling to say to Jesus, I believe. If anyone refuses, then that person is rejecting faith, that person's rejecting our Lord. This Wednesday, we have the fulfillment or a reminder of another wonderful prophecy that was fulfilled. Our Blessed Mother was prophesied to. It's one of the earliest prophecies in the entire Bible. Remember, after Adam and Eve fell, God did not give up on them, even though they turned their backs so ungratefully and so completely upon him. He gave them another chance. He gives so many chances, indeed, to us human beings. And what he prophesied then, and this is directly from the mouth of God, who's speaking, of course, to the devil, who is in the form of the serpent, I will place enmities between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Thou shalt lie in wait for her heel, and she shall crush thy head. There's also the prophecy of the Savior, of the Redeemer, of the Messiah in that same verse, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will place enmities between thee and the woman. So go back, as I said, to the very beginnings of human history, and Our Lady is prophesied. It couldn't be Eve because she had just been vanquished by the devil. Who's this woman? It can be none other than our Blessed Lady, the Mother of God. So let us continue our preparation for Christmas. Let us continue to move forward during this penitential yet joyful season of Advent. And let us honor her who had the most remarkable prophecy of being given such power through her role, through her Immaculate Conception, that she would crush the head of our great enemy, the devil. Our Blessed Mother, how wonderful we have her as our Queen and our Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.